ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
What's your response to the reaction to the, you know, the social media messages that were made public on Get On Social Media?
I'm sorry that people seen the language I use. That's not really what I want people to see and hear from me. But hopefully I can move past it and get back out on the floor.
That was Kevin Durant. And if you didn't see the story, he and Michael Rapaport had a back and forth on DM, on Twitter, on Instagram.
Yeah, mostly on Instagram, yeah.
And DMs, right?
Yes.
So, but Michael Rapaport made him public.
Now, this had been going on for a bit of time.
Yeah.
So it just finally blew up a couple days ago.
But this is appropriate with Texas basketball.
Sure.
Kevin Durant used this. I mean, he used all the C words,
mm-hmm.
all of them.
And used some some G words in terms of guzzle.
Yeah, guzzling.
And sucker.
I mean, it was, I mean, Kevin Durant did not hold back. It was thought to be homophobic, misogynistic. But that is the best apology ever. I'm sorry that people seen that language I used. I'm not sorry that I used it. I'm sorry that people seen it.
That they have it, maybe have a different impression of me because they see what I'm actually like.
Right. That's not really what I want people to see and hear from me. I want to use that stuff, but I don't want people to hear and see it.
I'm not going to apologize for what I said.
No.
Just that you saw it.
No, I'm just sorry that people seen it.
Well, aren't you? Don't you feel that way too? Like, most of the time,
yes.
You would say something like, I don't mind. I believe in what I said. I just wish people didn't hear it or see it.
Well, that's why I love Kevin Durant, because he's not saying that's not me, because that's what everybody says. Well, that's really not. No, that really is you. You just did that. That is you. Or I was hacked or whatever. So Kevin Durant can't be more honest. It's not that I don't want to use it or I don't use it.
I didn't want you to
me.
See it. That's all.
I just don't want you to see it.
Yeah.
I love that. Now, that's Longhorn honesty right there.
I appreciate that type of honesty.
I do.
And it makes me feel better when I play this.
Texas is back.
Well, why are you guys trying to make this into a Longhorn
Texas
thing?
Is back because Longhorn Scott is here.
That's the only reason why.
Yeah, this is the Longhorn segment.
Longhorns have a beard.
That's right. I think he may be a beard.
Well, good.
What's up,
yeah,
Scott?
Good morning, gentlemen. I don't know, man. What, got you a little Good Friday action? Horns just taking what they want, you know. Sun rises in the east, sets in the west. Things go down. People gnash their teeth and moan and wail. The huge, you know. I mean, is Chris Beard going to have a great run in Austin? I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure he had a great run the last couple of years. But it's guys. If there's any question about why somebody would leave a school in Lubbock, Texas, to go to Austin, Texas, and Austin's got its problems, I'll be the first to say that, but comparatively, it's like night and day. There's no question. The recruiting, the nightlife, whatever, right? And oh, by the way, his alma mater, and oh, by the way, more money. Like, it's amazing to me how, and I don't care, it's life, but the, you know, the constant wailing and moaning about evil Texas and Kirby Hokut. That might be the most sort of satisfying thing about all this. Hokut. Apparently he's an OU guy. So, you know, screw you, Hokut. Taste that for a little bit. I think it's great. And I mean, you know, I don't know if he's going to be good or not, but it's always fun when you can pillage somebody's coach and, you know, just like Texas is awful. Texas is arrogant. Fine. Let's be arrogant. Let's be awful. I'll give you what you want. That's what you want. That's who we'll be.
Well, I mean, they did just take – this is going to fire people up. I mean, they did just take a coach from Texas Tech, an in-state – I don't want to say rival, but you know, an in-state Texas Tech has done it better than Texas. They did it better than Texas. So Texas just said, "Eh, the Shaka thing didn't work out. Let's just go get their coach." And isn't it crazy that we never talked about? We ask ourselves, "Boy, how can Shaka survive this? He hasn't won a conference game in 7 years." And there was no talk of him getting fired. Just very quietly, Shaka went to Marquette, which clearly is a step down. And Chris Beard has been, AJ told me, I remember hearing the Chris Beard thing. That was out there for a long time. And AJ told me, you know why it lasted until yesterday? Because his buyout cut in half on April 1st. That's why all of that waited for that long. His buyout just cut in half.
Yeah, right. Went down to $4 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he...
Longhorns value shot.
But again, he's from the Woodlands. He went to Texas. He GA'd for 4 years at Texas after college.
Right.
I mean, so...
But he's got a program.
It's not like he just said, screw you, Texas. He went to his alma mater.
No. There's no question. I mean, he did have something going with the players who were there. I mean, it had to be hard. It had to be hard to leave that.
But not everybody, but... It's natural to want to go back to your alma mater.
Absolutely. Yeah. You saw that that Jim Harbaugh did, and it's worked out good.
Yeah, it's perfect. Michigan. No, it doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't get any better than Harbaugh. No. Shaka
went back to Texas, and so that was...
that worked out perfectly.
Yeah.
I thought he went to school at Marquette.
Yeah,
that's why he went back.
Yeah, but he went back to Texas.
What do you mean he went back to Texas?
Well, he had gone once, and then he went back.
Oh.
He go to school there.
Yeah.
But he went back to Texas.
Was he ever at Texas before?
Yeah, he had gone to the campus before, probably. Huh.
You know that? Because he's a Wisconsin guy. He's from Madison.
You eventually make your way down here in the winter.
There you go.
In the winter. All the tech people are coming there to Austin, so wouldn't surprise me if Wisconsin tech sector made it down there.
But he's a basketball coach, though.
But if he's part of an angel startup investment group. You don't know if he is or not.
Okay.
What?
I read an article.
I don't know what that is.
I read headlines from an article from San Francisco SF Gate, and it talked about, they did an article about three different people from tech who moved from San Francisco to Austin and how it has been everything and more that they could have possibly hoped for. That the move to Austin was incredible. This is what they want San Francisco to be, blah, blah, blah. And they talked about, the unbelievable cost of living of San Francisco. That just goes to show you when you move to Austin and you're like, oh, this cost of living is so much better. San Francisco is crazy out of control because Austin is expensive as hell. That thing has shot way, way up. But now Elon Musk is telling engineers and everything to move down to the border, like Texas border. Well, it's a border town. Which border town is it? And everyone in South Texas is freaking out like, no, please don't move down here. You're going to gentrify the whole thing. You're going to move housing prices up 300% and we won't be able to live here. Please don't move here. Please stop telling people to move here, Elon Musk.
Unless you already have your home and then you're glad that housing prices
are going
up.
Yeah, what happens is you get pushed out early and you just are a teardown.
So,
or you stay and you wait and you make money.
So did Shaka go, was he born in Madison, went to San Francisco, and then wound up at Texas?
I don't know the whole thing. It was like a gap in his...
I'm listening to everything. Did Shaka go get to Texas via San Francisco?
We don't know how he got on San Francisco.
Because he was part of a tech company?
He was with VCU.
No, but you just...
What's he say?
No one knows.
Okay.
I'm just saying it's a...
What is
it? Who is this route? We don't know.
Huh?
That's just a separate article, but it could be wrapped up in there. Because of tech companies... And I just don't know if he was part of the
Longhorns.
I don't know if he was part of the Wisconsin tech scene. I don't know.
Okay,
I thought
it's a vibrant tech scene in Wisconsin.
We haven't gotten anybody that's made fun of Longhorn Scott on Twitter yet. Nobody.
Well,
it's Good Friday. It's
everyone's
people aren't at work.
You think
that's why we could have played that whole segment? We could have had a whole segment off.
This is a holiday show.
This is a holiday show.
Nobody's working.
You say everything's a holiday show, but this is truly a holiday show.
We're the heroes today, okay? Because we're working. We're the only people working. Right. Right. Right.
I mean, the roads are empty, so you're not
wrong. You know what? We could just read scores from yesterday, or we can talk to Johnny Avello. Johnny Avello's joining us in the next segment from DraftKings. You want to find out who to bet on? All you got to do is go to DraftKings and bet on it.
Can you do that voice the entire time you're with him?
I should.
No.
Where's Johnny Avello?
Because he'll be like, why are you doing that voice?
Because you're Johnny
Avello.
Are you
making fun of our people?
Am I a clown?
No, do I amuse you? Stop acting like a clown. Remember, and you're my court jester.
No, do I amuse you is what he would say to you?
No.
Oh, you funny guy, huh?
Yeah. 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 Maybe.
I don't think.
Maybe Johnny Avello.
I don't think.
What do you got to say about it?
I don't think Mr. Avello's looking for that from
me. Marone.
Marone.
It's 8:11, ESPN 97.5.
I dare you to talk to him that way.
I will. Johnny Avello's with us. What up, Johnny Avello?
I dare you to talk that way. I can't wait for you to talk to another Italian-American and watch him say, what is this?
What is this?
What is it? What is this? Some kind of joke show? What are we doing?
What are you doing over there? Huh? We're going to talk to Johnny Avello from DraftKings when we come back right here on ESPN 97.5.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
8:14, ESPN 97.5. A holiday show, and we're talking about the Cougs going to the Final Four. And we're being joined by Johnny Avello. Johnny Avello, Johnny Granato here. How you doing?
I'm good, guys. Thank you much.
Where are you from?
Las Vegas, 41 years.
Oh, my God. Congratulations. God bless. So, Johnny Avello is what these guys ain't. They ain't Italian, Johnny. They don't know, all right? They don't know nothing, all right? I got Lance here.
They know how to eat pizza.
They know how to eat pizza because we taught them. That's right. So, all right, let's talk about DraftKings. First of all,
we taught them.
Yeah, we taught them.
What are you talking about?
We taught you. So, Johnny, first of all, Mattress Mac, you're taking $3 million bets from him. You're taking $1 million bets on the Cougs now from him. You know, we talked to him the other day. He said, you know, I can't find anybody else, but DraftKings is getting that job done for us.
Yeah, you know, Matt's been a good customer. He's been a customer of mine back in the days when I was at Wynn Las Vegas. So he's a, you know, he's a good guy. We like dealing to him. He's easy to deal to, and you know, he does his homework and he's got his promotions going. And you know, best of luck to him.
Yeah, I didn't know they pulled you from Wynn. I forgot about that. I knew your name from somewhere because Doug Castaneda is a good friend of mine. Well, I haven't talked to Doug for a while, but he was your assistant there, I know. He came over from the Stardust with Joe Lupo and Scucci. And I remember that he went over there, and that's the name. That's John Avello. That's where I always heard your name whenever I heard that we could have you on the air. I'm like, I know he came over from Vegas Casino. I know it.
Right.
That's correct, guys. Yeah, I was with Wynn for 13 years, and you know, Doug took over the spot when I left to go to DraftKings.
Yeah, we always used to talk to Big Tony too from the Nugget.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm curious.
The Italians are running the show there. Okay, that's what we do.
Doug Castaneda. So I am curious though. The DraftKings thing, it was for a long time. It was FanDuel versus DraftKings and Daily Fantasy, and you saw how big it was, how much money was in it. But then the aggressive move for DraftKings to get into the sports gambling market was, and not just stay a niche daily fantasy. What a huge move that has been to draw somebody like you with your background over there. That's been huge. We'll get to some of the action for Final Four, but I'm really curious about, like, how has that been for you in terms of, is there any difference between what you do there with DraftKings because it's so robust in terms of its outreach versus a place in Vegas where you're getting the tickets mostly locally, but I know you also had online stuff as well. Like, what's the difference been for you?
You know, guys, it was a tough decision to leave Wynn because it's such a tremendous location, hotel, great place to work. But, you know, DraftKings recruited me over, one of the owners, Matt Kalish, and I had a few meetings with him, and I wanted to be in that space, the space of national sports betting.
I never thought it was going to happen, to be honest with you. You go back 5 years ago, I thought it was a 1-in-90 shot, to be honest with you. But came to fruition. I wanted to be part of it. My duties are similar, but I take on a lot of other things. Recruiting players, trying to help out, bring on new places on board. And I'm loving it. I really am. I bring the average age of the company way up. These guys are all in the late 20s, early 30s. So, but it's great to work with this team. These guys are smart. They have great ideas and want to be successful. And things are just moving in the right direction for us.
Johnny Vello with us here on ESPN 97.5. He runs the book at DraftKings. .com if you're looking for action. Johnny, can you explain to us, because we don't get it, how the Baylor's only a 5-point favorite? I would imagine we thought it'd already be up to 6 by now. Started at 4.5, got to 5, but we don't get it how Baylor's, it just seems like they're begging, you guys are begging everybody to take Baylor in this game.
Yeah, I think what you guys look at, you look at the Cougars with this great season, 28-3, and they beat. If you look at their regular season, it was a strong home court advantage. They did beat Texas Tech, Boise, Cincy a couple of times. And you're right, when you look at who they beat in the tournament, beat Rutgers, Syracuse, and Oregon State, 10, 11, and 12 seeds. Now, don't let that fool you, though, because, this tournament, those three teams I just mentioned, they're tough outs, all three of them. They bring their A game. They did bring their A game to the tournament, and they were all difficult. Now, Baylor did beat Wisconsin, Nova, and Arkansas, three perceived better teams. But according to our power ratings, these two teams are not that far apart. 5 points is about where we wanted it to be. Now, we did open 5. We are heavy on Baylor. I do expect some Houston money as we get closer to game time, but most likely on the money line. So, point spread sometimes fools you on how close the game could be. But I'm happy where we put it. And even though Baylor money's coming in, we're fine with that.
Mm. I would admit it's up. I see places. Are you up to 5.5 yet?
No, we are not. We're holding at 5. Now, we opened the total, we opened 135.5. We're down to 134. We're getting an equal amount of money both sides there. But the side is, it's been, Baylor so far. And that's not unusual. Until we get close to game time and we're going to write 90% of the money, sometimes the favorite is bet early on.
Johnny Avella joins us. He is the director of the sportsbook there with DraftKings. Johnny, do you miss the... Do you miss the in-person element of the sports book at all? Because as someone who, part of it is the characters, and of course we probably romanticize that. It's probably a huge pain in the ass for you sometime dealing with some of them. But do you miss that in-person element of that casino?
I do, very much so. And I'm out and about even with DraftKings too, but unfortunately for this last year, we've all had to stay at home, and I'm not having that interaction with the customers. I'm having it over the phone, but I'm not having it in person. And I do miss that because I spent probably a good half of the time down on the floor with the customers. They want to talk. They want to tell you their opinion on games. They want to tell you what's wrong with your book. They want to tell you what you're doing right. They want to tell you, which customers, which of your tellers are the best they've ever had. So, yeah, I do miss that interaction. And that's the part of the bricks and mortar location aspect of the business that I do miss the most.
Well, how can you tell? Because I don't know if it's you ran a book for so long, you can tell us that it didn't matter how much money was coming in, but where the money was coming from, the sharp money. How can you tell at DraftKings where sharp money's coming from?
Oh yeah, I can tell. there's no difference, guys. They bet. And we do have bricks and mortar locations, DraftKings. We do have one in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. We have one in New York. And so, we do have some of those. But most of our business is on the digital side. And, we know when our customers are, which customers are sharp, and we know when the money's coming in from a sharp player. So, nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed on that. Can you give us? Are you here to tell us any sharp plays? Anything that you like? Can you give us some insight into which way to first of all, I don't know that you can put a big enough number on Gonzaga. I mean, the way that they're playing.
Well, that's a pretty big one.
We've never seen a big one like this.
What, but Johnny, is it 14 right now, Johnny?
14, I see 14 and a half, too. Johnny.
Yeah, we are at 14 and a half after opening up 14. This is probably the highest number that I can remember in recent times for a Final Four game. UCLA is a high seed and going against a one seed, and the team that hasn't had a loss all year seems to just be able to toy with teams. You look at the USC game, who a lot of people play USC would give Gonzaga a rough time. They're down 19 at the half. They lose by 19. I don't know if UCLA is that much better than USC, but I could tell you, Cronin's doing a great job with this team. You know, there was a top player that was out in January, so their team's had a lot of trouble during the course of the year, having, you know, their full team on the court, and look what he's done. He's gotten to this point. Now, you know, to overcome and beat the Giant here, they're going to have one hell of a game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all but one game all season long out of 30 games, they haven't won by double digits. Double digits and 29 wins.
But it's funny, though, but their ATS numbers are above 500, but they're not out of control.
Yeah, right, because they, I guess, you know what? The Vegas has given them respect. You can't put a big enough number on them. But apparently you can because, they're not covering crazy. Mm-hmm. Is 14 and a half too much, Johnny, to give?
No, you know, I think it's a good number to make you think on which side you want to play, and that's what the point spread is all about. It's to try to make the two teams equal, and I think that's the number we had to use to get there.
Yeah. Do you, at DraftKings, because I know I talked to Big Tony about this, everybody thinks that you guys just want even money and then take the vig, and he was like, no, we like a side. Are you playing it that same way at DraftKings?
Yeah, you know, we don't try to bet. We put up a number, we take action on it. If we get extremely heavy on one side, we'll move it a half to try to track some on the other side, but we're okay with not balancing out. Remember, we have that vigorish going for us where you lay 11 to 10,
mm-hmm.
and over the course of time, that's what works for us. The hold on a game is only 4.5%, so over time, if we can hold that 4.5% on a straight bet, that works for us. And so we're not necessarily trying to balance out the game.
How did you do on the Super Bowl with Mac taking in 3.46 or whatever he won? How'd you guys end up?
We actually did pretty good on the game. We had our largest handle ever, and that's just understandable. We're growing. We're in 14 states now. Mac was able to collect his bet, and we still did okay. So that just shows you the kind of handle we have.
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious if there's been any, from a strategic standpoint, if you've seen different strategies arise. I would think maybe Moneyline is one of them, but do you see different wagering strategies over the last 20 years where you've seen people kind of, or maybe even younger players now, start to play something different because the analytics or the numbers or the tell them that this is a smarter play for them to make?
I can tell you two ways that I've seen. One pregame is probably money line parlays. I see a lot of those more so now than ever before. Guys, instead of teasers were the big thing. Teasers are still a good bet. People still like to bet teasers where you take the team down, like in football, at 6.5, 7 right. points. But moneyline parlays have become very popular now. And the other aspect of gambling, sports gambling, has become extremely popular is the in-game wagering,
mm-hmm.
where, you can, a lot of guys don't even bet the pregame. They wait to the in-game because they figure they'll get a better number if the team's down early, the favorite's down early in the game or the dog's down too much in the game. And then we've added all these components, like in baseball, you can bet on the next pitch and will it be a ball and will a guy you know, how will he get on base? Won't he get on base? Mm-hmm. So in-game wagering is now growing and it's taking over a good portion of the big.
You know, one thing that I think is
back in the day, you could never do it.
No, and plus, you know, you still have concerns, but in-game is monster.
Huge.
That's what everybody. So I'm talking to. I'm dealing with a company who does a player tracking. They're out of Sweden, Johnny, and they and their entire thing is they've already got. Their technology can be turned around literally within a second. And so now the soccer, some international soccer, some betting sites and some international soccer is now being tracked for brand new types of in-game wagering because this player tracking, which doesn't even require them to wear anything, it's not wearable, it's just based off 4K cameras, they're able to get data immediately so that they can have quick results. Quick bets, quick results. And so that's what everyone's shooting for is to be the next in-game. Like, how can we do the next in-game? One strategy I want to ask you about that I think is interesting, just out of curiosity, is you got to be willing to fire a number up there. Let's say you threw 300 on a live betting before the game started, and you've got Memphis minus Memphis plus two, and you'd bet 300 on Memphis plus two. If you're willing to... you know, and maybe that's more than you would typically do, but you wait on the and you keep monitoring and you hope Memphis gets out to an early lead and keeps it for a while. Then you jump on the other side, the former favorite that maybe they're plus five, and now you got a middle of seven where you don't get middles like that, middle opportunities. So that's I also think in-game allows you obviously the opportunity to catch the middles, which you just don't see anymore with the automated bookmaking. That's a thing of the very old past.
Are you catching middle. That a lot, Johnny?
Yeah, you know, you do a little bit of handicapping and you find out which teams are quick starters. Mm. You know, maybe you can if you can handicap that way. That's a good way to bet. You also, I'll give you a, for instance, Gonzaga. The first game of the tournament was a 33-point favorite. I think they were down about 10-6 early. So now you're laying. We had 24.5, 25. So that's an 8-point difference. And we all know the beginning of the game means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, our model told us that's where the point spread should be at that time. So sometimes if you wait, you get a better number. And, you know, how much more could Gonzaga have been than 33 early in the game? So, yeah, I think sometimes it's you wait and if you don't find the bet you like, you don't bet. You wait till the next opportunity.
John Avello, runs the sports book at DraftKings.com, is with us here on ESPN 97.5. Well, we know, and the old adage is the books love when we make parlay bets. Is that still the case? And how you know how are you guys doing in in-game betting? Is that advantage? You guys are advantaged better?
In in-game wagering, we're doing really well. Now, you know, we write a lot of action. Like, for instance, in tennis, there's guys like to bet point by point. So there's a lot of money comes in, you know, for in-game wagering. So overall, we're doing really well. You know, and we're just a company that likes to put up numbers, put up different offerings, give the customer the opportunity to bet what they like, and whether it's entertainment or sports. I mean, we're also doing Oscars now. So we've done some Emmys before. So we've added some new product to the site. We cornhole. We're doing darts. So I tell you guys, if you look at the menu on DraftKings.com. If you can't find something to bet, you're not looking hard enough.
No, Madden simulation. Like, it's let me know when that draft comes up.
Yeah.
I can't do anything, but I'd love to.
So, can you...
Y'all have NFL draft numbers, too, I'm sure.
Yeah, we do. They are up, and probably more of an extensive menu than we've had in the past.
My partner here works for NFL.com, and he's an expert on this, John. If you need any, you guys need any help putting numbers.
You need a little
guys.
Help tightening up those numbers. You know where to find your boy. I mean, I've only looked at 500 players so far.
So
go and tell me where our weak spots are. We've got position by position. We've got total quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'll let you know after
we've
I fire
got
at
third
it.
Overall. overall pick. I mean, we got so much out there.
He said he'll let you know.
I'll let you know after I fire at it.
He'll let me know after he makes his bet. I like that. I don't care. Make
oh, by the way, you're wrong on this one, Johnny.
And I'm going to prove it, John.
Johnny, what's my maximum on this?
Do you have are you limited on in-game betting?
Yes, we have limits are there for sharp play.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have limits. But we have customers, as in Mac, who we let bet a large amount of money. We have many customers like that. But limits are for protection for sharp guys, and that's why they're around.
Absolutely. All right. Well, give us a hint. Are Cougs going to win? What's the
what
deal, Johnny?
What do you mean, give us a hint if they're going to win?
I mean, Johnny knows.
Johnny
which
doesn't.
Way
it's not a fixed game. What do you mean, are they going to win?
Johnny knows. Johnny, which way is this going, Cougs or Baylor?
Guys, I've always said this. I'm a good odds maker, but not necessarily a good handicapper. I stay away from picking sides. You pick the sides, and you ask me if that's the correct side, and I'll tell you it could be.
That's a diplomat.
You know what?
How you've been in the business for 40 years.
They always say don't get high off your own supply. Sit there like, you pick them. We got the big belt in. I got the advantage. Let's go.
Could be. Johnny Avello from DraftKings.com right here on ESPN 97.5. Good talking some gambling with you, Johnny. We really appreciate it. Best of luck. Congratulations on your success at DraftKings.
Thank you, guys. You have a fine day, fine weekend.
All right, you
thanks,
too.
Thanks, Johnny.
There's Johnny Avello right here on ESPN 97.5.
He made me so nervous at the beginning when he's like, hey, Johnny, what are you doing today?
Where are you from?
Like, I'm like, oh, my God. And then you kept going. And I was just like, oh, please.
No, Johnny Avello.
Don't get offended. Hey, you might have offended him.
Why am I going to offend him?
Do you want to?
Italians don't get offended.
Let me ask you something. He's an old school Italian gentleman.
That's right.
From the sports book in Las Vegas.
So you want to know where you're from? Where you's from?
Do you want to offend him?
You said
where you's from. You said you's. Yeah.
He said Vegas, 41 years. What's it to you?
That's right.
Meyer Lansky.
Vegas, 41 years.
Well, Meyer was Jewish. He wasn't Italian, but you know.
Abe, yeah. No, yeah.
Did you know Ace Rothstein by any chance? I'm trying to remember. Was that a fictional character?
It was a real character. I don't know if it was Ace Rothstein his real name. I don't know that.
I can't remember if that was his real name.
Anyway, it was good talking to Johnny, one of the guys from the hood.
It was good.
He's from the neighborhood.
Which neighborhood?
Vegas.
It is funny.
From the Strip.
So here's the name of the sports book. I didn't realize until you're talking.
And it's based on, Ace Rothstein was based on a man named Frank Rosenthal.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's right. So here's the sports book. I'm like, I know your guy, Doug Castaneda.
Yeah.
He came in there. Remember when he used to work with Bob Scucci and Joe Lupo? Oh my God, these are all Italians.
Of course they are. What are you, nuts?
You remember Lupo when y'all was running the numbers at Stardust?
835 ESPN 97.5.
Tony the Hatchet Man Valentine. You know his last name is Valentino. It's not Valentine.
No, right. Of course he had to change it.
Well, you were John Grant at one point.
Yeah, you're damn right. You have to change it sometimes because, the people, they're racist against the Italians. I don't know why.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 8:38. We're a little bit behind, but that's okay. We're talking to Johnny Avello, and we got some insight. He doesn't give out. Now, Tony used to give out some picks, Big Tony. He would say, we like this side.
But the old school Vegas guys, generally speaking, they'll tell you what side they like because that's the side they need, too. And sometimes he might give you his opinion, yeah.
Yeah.
John Avello is just there for the, let's go.
Yeah.
Bring it in.
But John Avello is like, nah, I'm not going to. No. Hey, you know what? I could win.
I'm looking at the.
You just never know. That could
by
win.
The way, you can't bet on DraftKings here in this.
Didn't say no.
Yeah, because we've got to make sure that we keep, you know, people from gambling because it can ruin.
Right.
It can ruin everything.
Yeah. Ruin everything. As opposed to alcohol. But we'll sell plenty of that. That's good. No.
Yeah, but no.
No, I'm not going to be hypocritical. I'm big on alcohol. Don't get me wrong.
But you just think it should be.
But I just think it's a little hypocritical to think, oh, we can drink all we want, but we can't gamble? Stop. Justin wants to get in here. Talk about Alvin Brooks, assistant coach for your Houston Cougars. What's going on, Justin?
So it was announced yesterday that Lamar University over in Beaumont just hired Alvin Brooks to be their new head coach. He was the point guard back in the 80s for Lamar, and he was brought him to the Sweet 16. And so just wanted to hear your guys' thoughts.
I think it's a great hire. Alvin Brooks is. He's a hero there. He was a great player there. And you know what? He's got his son at Baylor, who probably brings along. It'll be great for Alvin Brooks to get another shot. Mm-hmm. He was the head coach here, and Baylor's probably going to be a perfect spot. That's your alma mater. You go back home, you work your tail off, you bring your kid. It's not the same as what Kelvin Sampson is doing here, but he made it a family affair here with his son as a coach and his daughter in ops. And I would imagine I'm just guessing that his son joins him. I saw a story the other day on his son at Baylor and him and who mom's going to root for. And she's got the shirt with both the Cougs and the Bears on it. So
house divided.
It's a house divided. That's right. So
wait,
no, that's great for Elvin. I knew Elvin. I hosted his show, his post game shows or his weekly show back in the day. And he's a great guy. And for him to get another shot like this is awesome. And it should have happened a while ago.
I don't know where he ranks, Alvin Brooks III, his son, where he ranks as far as assistants on Baylor staff. He's his first, second, third, whatever. Wouldn't it be a pay decrease to go coach at Lamar?
But you're with your dad.
And?
And maybe you take over.
Or you show out at Baylor and maybe you get a job too. I don't know. I don't know the dynamics at Baylor, but I'm assuming being the assistant coach of Lamar is going to pay less.
Yeah. 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 But again, working with your dad is a different deal. And, you know, maybe that happens. I guess I'm just assuming that that's going to happen. And maybe it doesn't. I don't know. But it's nice that he, after, you know, that was 98 that he left Houston. And he's been an assistant all over the country. All over Texas. At Tech, North Texas, UTEP, A&M. Associate head coach here.
He's been
here.
Doing this for a long time. Oh, how old is Alvin now?
He's
got to be in his late 60s.
And born, early 60s. He was born in August of 59.
Okay. Because yeah. I'm friends with the Jones family, and Tommy Jones and Alvin Brooks were both assistants under Pat Foster. And then Alvin, they both went for the head coaching job. Alvin got it. Tommy went to HBU, was head coach at HBU. But, and then Alvin got it, you know. He had his run. I think he was a better recruiter maybe than head coach, but Alvin's been a lifer. It's just pretty cool that he's come back, and it was good for him.
Yeah.
Good for Alvin Brooks.
I mean, he was 54 and 84 here. His last year was 9-20. He had one good year back in 95-96. That was a lot of fun. He finished second in the conference. Mm-hmm. In the Southwest Conference, and you know, that was and it kind of fell apart on him. Had a couple bad years, and then he was done. He's been nomading throughout Texas, and it's good. He get his alma mater finally said, "Hey, let's give our guy a shot." He was a great player for them, so that's nice. Good for him. Good for him, and it's a loss for the Cougs because he's a good coach. So we'll see. But yeah, good for Alvin Brooks. He's a nice guy. He's a really really nice guy. 843 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you want to get on the HRP listener line, you're more than welcome to get in here on 97.5 and 92.5.
No thoughts on the – okay, so I just want to get
this on the
straight.
Other side.
Yeah, we have no thoughts on the Astros or Carlos Correa, that deadline passing. So there's no thoughts from anybody on a Good Friday.
Yeah, right.
Because if you're not going to listen, I'll just go downstairs to Tom and Tom's and get us some food.
You got the bulgogi? You're going to get
bulgogi?
That? Bulgogi? Is that what it's called? Yeah, that pretzel with the sausage or the pepperoni on it.
Yeah,
that's good.
And today doesn't count. You can get meat.
Yeah.
Remember, we're done with this.
Lent's over.
We're done with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know that.
We're done. I know. You know what you're not done with?
No. What I'm not done with is
JCW.
John Clay Wolf. Well, it's Good Friday. He's probably at Mass.
Yeah.
Or drinking. You think he's drinking?
No,
well,
I think he's definitely got to be Mass.
He's got to be. He's at Mass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has to be.
He goes at 8 o'clock
definitely
every morning.
Church. Yeah.
Yeah. He's definitely at church. Here's the deal with John Clay Wolf. And the great people over there. He is unbelievable. You're talking about 1,000 cars he sells 1 week at auction. The next week, he said, what, 980? I mean, he is by far the best. It's not even close. The best in the country at doing this. And he pays you more. The reason he can sell 1,000 cars is because he has 1,000 cars. The reason he has 1,000 cars is because he pays more than anybody else. And so people, if you're going to sell your car, you sell it to John Clay Wolf because he'll pay you more. He told us last week, he said, all right, CarMax, if I can't match their offer, I'm going to give you $100. If I can't match your final offer from the dealer, I'm going to give you $100. What? So no matter what the final deal is, he will beat that deal from the dealer, or he'll send you $100. That's unbelievable. Well, of course, he knows that the dealers aren't giving it up. So he gives it up. So if you're looking for that car dealer that's going to pay you more, it's GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Irvine.
Hi. Right. What? What'd I do? What'd I do? I didn't do nothing.
Clear your throat right into the microphone.
Oh, I didn't know. Well, it was better than what I said right before it.
Well, timing is everything.
Well, I know. The reason I cleared my throat is because I was in the middle of saying like a Kevin Durant saying.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So you're lucky that I cleared my
throat
right
in the mic. No, you're lucky.
No, no. You're lucky that I was able to catch it and clear. Catch and clear. That's what I like to call it. Because it was ugly what I was about to say about somebody not making us money.
Oh.
Yeah. One of Lance's friends.
Oh, well, of course. One of Lance's friends.
He's holding out on us.
He's holding out information on us. We need to, you know, it's Odd Jobs Incorporated.
No, we
Look
do.
Look at this. We got a caller about Carlos Correa. Our Carlos Correa, who John slandered in the first segment.
I didn't slander him. I love Carlos Correa.
Said he's like a girl who won't do anything.
He doesn't do stuff.
He doesn't do stuff because he's never
because
there.
He wants his money.
He's always out.
He said, give me my money.
Out on the town when you're looking for stuff.
Give me my money. I want what I'm due. I want what I'm owed, and I want what I'm worth.
Yeah,
he's looking out for his own self-worth.
You got to do more stuff if you want to be a high-paid, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, boy. He wants to
be. I don't think that's what he wants to be.
Player.
He doesn't want to do
all that
stuff.
He wants you to wife him up. He just wants the ring to be big enough.
No,
that's all.
No,
he wants to get wifed up, and he wants a good ring.
I want a short-term relationship right now because I don't know that you're going to be there.
All of his shortstop girlfriends got really huge rings.
But you don't wife up the girl who does all that stuff, do you?
No.
Who's always doing stuff.
What are you talking about, John?
No, you can't count on her. I want somebody. I'm going to marry somebody that I can count on. That's going to be
there. You can't count on Carlos?
When I get home from work,
every playoffs,
she's going to have the meal on the table.
Every playoffs, he's right there.
Huh?
When the things get a little crazy, every playoffs, he's right there.
Oh, no, for big events? Oh, no.
That's what he gets paid for.
Well, no.
That's what he wants the ring for.
Every day. When I come home, nothing on the table. It's nothing even in the microwave.
Put a ring on it. He said, put a ring on it. He went Destiny's Child on you. He said, put a ring on it.
Yeah,
and a ring means at least 8 years.
But in John's eyes, he's not even doing the stuff that you normally stop doing once you get married.
That's right.
He's not even doing that stuff.
That's what he said.
He
said, yeah, that's a different song, but still.
That's a bunny hop or something.
Well, it's two different Destiny Child songs. But if you like it, then you should have put a ring on it, he said.
Well,
and now somebody else is going to put a ring on it, just like George. Somebody put a ring on on Garrett Cole. Somebody put a ring on George. When is your guy, Jim Crane, going to start signing some of our own players? Garrett
Cole,
gone.
He just put a ring on Lance McCullers.
Gone. Yeah. Marwin, gone. Charlie, gone. Dallas Keuchel, gone.
You didn't want Dallas Keuchel.
Carlos, gone. Right. Everyone's gone.
Wait.
Who's he signing?
Wait, Lance McCullers. Rangers.
Lance McCullers.
Yeah. He signed Brantley. A homer and three hits last night. How's that?
2 years.
Oh, yeah?
2 years.
He signed Greg. 2 years. He signed Verlander.
Like an amuse-bouche.
He don't do enough
That's an
you?
Appetizer.
He doesn't do enough for you.
It's an appetizer. Okay. Sign these guys. Now stop worrying about his money. Are you part of the inheritance like that one guy said on direct message? That you got money coming in from him and you don't want him spending his money? Spin out the money. Push it out. Pump it out. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. No.
Let's go. Pump out the money.
Somebody that puts a ring on Correa, they're going to be sitting in the corner watching.
No.
Because he ain't going to be there. Okay? Okay? That's what's going to happen. Nobody. Hey, I got nothing to watch.
Carlos, are you coming to bed? No, I'm just going to keep watching Banshee.
Yeah.
What?
There's some hot scenes on Banshee.
Yeah, we heard. Yeah, we heard about Banshee.
I want to keep the streak alive, too.
Let's get Chad in here. Hey, Chad.
Hey, I can barely hear you guys, but real quick, good morning, first of all. On the Correa deal, I think it was pretty obvious once the deal with Lindor came out that this thing is never going to happen. You've got a shortstop that is probably the 10th or 12th best shortstop in the league right now, and if he wants anything like that type of money Lindor got, it's not going to happen. And I guess it kind of brings up two questions in my mind. What are the Astros under the new GM? Are we a team that's going to go out and spend a lot of money? Are we going to be frugal? Are we going to go more of the Tampa Bay route and really try and do short-term deals and build through the draft and whatnot? And if that's the case, we're going to have to move this guy. And I know we're probably going to be competing for the division championship. We're going to be in the playoffs. But we can't just let talent keep on walking out. I know Cole, we were in a World Series. You can't move the guy into that situation, but we got nothing in return.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Chad. Chad, let me ask you a question. Where is the Astros payroll 2021?
I know it's up there. There's no doubt about it. They got
so exactly what would he's right behind the New York Mets. He's right behind the Yankees, and the Dodgers are head and shoulders above everybody. They're fourth in the league in payroll.
But they took on two contracts.
Well, right. But guess what? He's paying two those biggest contracts.
I know, but the two biggest, but there's a finite time. It's not a
No. But
there's a difference.
His question is, are we going to be a team that spends money? So far, he has spent money. So why do you think he's not going to spend money next year?
Meaning, are they going to spend money to keep a core together? Is really the question. Well, are they going to operate like a World Series?
But again, don't spend stupidly. Giving Carl, and you agree with it. So what are you talking about? Giving Carlos Correa 8 years is not smart.
No.
But that he's not going to spend money. He has spent money.
What about the other question?
Why do we think he won't?
What about the other question? Should Carlos walk out the door for nothing? Should you be trading him?
I believe that you should play it by ear, and that's not the way baseball teams operate.
Well,
that's not the way the Astros
operate. Here's the deal: is where are we near the trade deadline? Are we a team that's competing? Then you keep Carlos and you go for it. But if not, then you trade him because you're looking for the future then. If you're not in the hunt, if you don't feel like this team can do anything. But if you get rid of Carlos Correa in the middle of the year for prospects, you're saying we can't win.
Well, we've seen that happen and it bury teams. The morale goes down, but the organization says, look, we don't think
it could also be better long term at the trade deadline.
But it could be better.
Get rid of Carlos.
John, it's such a depleted farm system. It actually might be a better. It may be worse in the short term, but much better for extending that long term possibility.
Let's find out.
Let's see how the season's going. Yeah, I mean, you can't make a. I would be willing to consider it, but you really have to see where you are. And frankly, if the season is going well, there's nothing you can do about it. If it's going well, Carlos has no chance of coming back. If it's not going well, you could potentially move him. If it's not going well and Carlos is playing good baseball, and teams who would be interested are teams who think they have a chance to re-sign him. Like, they're the ones who are going to be talking to his agents. That's what you want to do is try to move him to somebody who believes they can re-sign him, because then you're going to get a legit deal back. But I would 100% consider moving him. But you really can't if you're trying to win a World Series and if you think you have that kind of team. And you have to be honest, too. Or do you have a team that's kind of just middling and they're just hanging in? Or do you have one of the front runners? if you have a front runner, you obviously cannot consider it. Because you got to give yourself a chance to win.
And let's look at the teams. Let's look at the teams that are going to be competing and are going to be the Dodgers have a shortstop. The Yankees have a shortstop. The Mets, the Phillies, the Padres have a shortstop. The Nationals have a shortstop. These are the teams that are probably going to.
The Braves shortstop.
Well,
they wouldn't. Plus, they wouldn't.
The Swanson. Mm-hmm. These are all teams that have a shortstop. Those are the teams that are going to be looking for. And you're right. We're not giving up a bunch of stuff. The Astros aren't giving up Carlos Correa at the trade deadline because they're going to be a team that's competing for a title. They just that won't make sense. Actually, you hope that the Astros are looking, instead of getting rid of Carlos Correa, that they're adding a big name so that they can make a run with this team. Because this team's got a chance. If Fromber comes back and you're hitting if you're hitting up to your potential, this team's got a chance.
You don't have minor leaguers to do that.
So
you're gutted. I mean, you're 30th in the minors.
You got Forrest Whitley.
Like I said, you're gutted. You're broke. You don't have that. And I don't want them. Do not trade any of your young talent for a 31-year-old, 32-year-old pitcher. Don't do that anymore.
Well, if he's got 3 years, I don't mind. Like if you get a Verlander deal out of somebody, that'd be fine.
How about the Astros replenish with a move once?
I don't. Well, do you want to win or you want?
Yeah, I know. By replenishing, you give yourself a chance to win.
Okay. Well, when I'm 80, Lance, then I'll worry about that. Okay, because I got.
Well, then if that's the case, then spend whatever it takes to win.
That's right. They did. No.
Whatever it takes to win.
They did. They went out and got Verlander. They went out and got
give
Greinke.
New contracts.
This is what they do.
Who are their new contracts that they
get? Are you worried about the future? I want to win. I want to
win
right now.
This team's
good enough. This window's open right now.
No. It's keep the window. Make it a legitimate window. That's what I'm saying. The Lance McCullers was about winning now. A 5-year deal for 17 and a half. That was an aggressive move for Lance McCullers.
You
frankly.
Got a young Tucker. You've got Altuve who's going to be here. You got a Bregman who's going to be here. You've got a Yordan who's going to be
then
here.
Who's the one you want to add? Then?
You got your core still. You still got a good
then
core.
Then there's nobody to add.
Well, a pitcher. You might add a pitcher. Or a closer.
You got young.
You might add a huge closer at the trade.
Well, closer makes more sense. But once again, you just don't have pieces to trade. Unless you want to trade a guy like Josh James, you know.
Yeah, or a Forrest Whitley.
Huge closers ain't going for Josh James.
No, you got Forrest other guys Whitley. That actually people
Forrest
would want.
Forrest Whitley. Stop saying the F
no,
word.
No. Forrest
Stop
Whitley.
Stop saying the F word. No,
instead of Luno, who you know, worshipped at the altar of Forrest Whitley, he's, you know what? He ain't that guy. So you can trade him.
But if
you
ain't
know
what? That
some
guy.
Some team might go, hey.
What team?
A team might say, hey, Forrest Whitley.
A team?
Forrest Whitley's
name
over
the
there?
Team, John.
No. But Carlos Correa is going to bring 8 years. Okay.
Name
whatever.
The team.
But Forrest Whitley can't.
Forrest Whitley's value deteriorated the last 3 years? So what is he going to bring?
Nothing.
They might bring
name the team, John.
Name
the team.
No. See, now a big name closer coming in here could happen with a bad team.
Patrick did not say name the team.
No, I had to combine them.
Yeah, you combined.
I combined them.
That's not how it initially went down.
I'm not naming it.
Name the team.
Name the team. We just had opening day. What are you talking about?
I don't care, John. Name them.
Goodness gracious!
Before we get in a fight.
8:59. Time to be a champion. DJ, we'll get you on the other side, and that's a pretty good question you're asking. Right now, I want to talk about my peeps over Champion Energy. I love what they're doing over Champion, and you will too. Another locally owned and operated company. We're talking more about local lately because it's awfully important to keep the money right here in the city of Houston. And a lot of these other ones, they're all over the place. If you drive up the Hardy Toll Road, you'll see the big Champion Energy building right there where they're doing unbelievable stuff. They're tremendous, number one in service every single year, not according to me. Listen, if you're talking about getting an electricity company that is solid, that is going to continue to give you the best in service at a great, great price every single time, don't. You know what? There's so many electricity companies out there that are iffy, especially in the tough times, not Champion. Champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.